My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Thank you so much there, Kofi. A very good afternoon to you and welcome to today's edition of Joy Business Masterclass. Masterclass, as always, is powered by Joy Business and is brought to us by Goyle. Goyle, good energy. Goyle, yenara, yedia. Masterclass comes your way every Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. and runs all through to 2:15 p.m. here on your superstation, Joy 99.7. My name, as always, is Yabanafo. And I'm glad to be your host for today's edition of Joy Business Masterclass. And so in the last 5 weeks before last week, as a bit of a tongue twister here on the show, we had the privilege of speaking to some of the best academic and professional minds on the subject of communication. We looked at communication being a key business enabler in helping business growth. And in those 5 weeks, we were privileged to have fine gentlemen, Dr. Ike Tando, Dr. Joshua Doe, Dr. Daniel Odum, and Dr. Stephen Tindy. A very good afternoon to you, gentlemen. All these fine gentlemen are from the University of Media Arts and Communication, now UNIMARC for short, and they took us through a very exhilarating conversation on the subject of branding, of digitization, of digitalization. The two are not the same. We learned in that conversation, and also we looked at some of the challenges of digitization and digitalization. Essentially, we also learned some tidbits that will help our businesses to grow and to fuel our business growth. Communication is one of those key things. And I think one of the things that stayed with me in that conversation, he said, was that whether or not you're deliberate or intentional about it, you're communicating in one way or the other. And so if you communicate deliberately, yes, you're communicating. If you do not communicate deliberately, you're communicating. Somebody said once that your actions are speaking so loudly that I cannot hear what you are saying. If you missed those conversations, by all means, please go to our Facebook page, our YouTube, or our X page, and you can watch those shows for yourself and learn something from there. Once again, a very big thank you to the gentleman for coming through, and a big thank you to the VC and the rector of UNIMARC for also allowing them to come through. Today, we also move, like we always do, to another area of conversation, because what we try to do here in Masterclass is to bring you conversations that will help your business to grow. So today, we're going to be talking about the all-important subject of intellectual property. Sounds like a mouthful, intellectual property. Oftentimes, you hear in many discussions, I wrote a business idea, I went to somebody to help me, some company, and they said that they're not interested, and the next thing I knew, they were implementing my idea. Was it your idea? Was it not your idea? Did they implement it? Were you able to take them on? Is there a place in this country that you can register an idea and call it your own? Sometimes when you ask this question of many people, what you hear is, I don't know whether they do it in Ghana. Today we're going to be talking about it. And some of the keywords that sort of characterize that conversation, you hear words like data, you hear words like content, words like copyright, words like trademark. There are a few other words that you hear. And sometimes you wonder, I have always asked the question that, is there a place in Ghana where you can register your ideas? And the answer I got was, again, here on the show, that I'm sure there is, but it takes about 2 years to do that. No one is going to wait for 2 years to do that. My guest is smiling because he's wondering that wasn't true. And today we're going to be hearing all about it. In academia, if you ever took someone's work and you used it in your write-up and you did not give reference to them, it's called plagiarism. It is so serious in the universities that you can get rusticated for plagiarism. You can just get dismissed for plagiarism. And it is not a nice thing to do in academia. It is similar to the conversation we're going to be having today of taking somebody's idea and using it without referring to them, or even using it in the first place. Are you allowed to do that? My guest in the studio today is a prominent intellectual property
property attorney with extensive experience in the field. She is a managing partner at SN Anku IP firm, which spans activity over Ghana and Nigeria, the Gambia, and the USA. She's also a senior partner at Anku at Law, again Ghana and Nigeria. She has a diverse educational background, including an LLM in alternative dispute resolution from the University of Ghana and a master's in intellectual property from Africa University in the country of Zimbabwe. Her expertise, I beg your pardon, spans copyright, patent, trademark, and industrial design law, due diligence, commercialization of IP, and enforcement of IPRs. She's also a distinguished lecturer and an MPhil intellectual property program at the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology. She's been instrumental in advising governments and organizations on formulating and implementing IP policies. By the way, IP means intellectual property, to foster innovation and growth. She's published extensively on the subject, including Ghana Country Copyright Guide. I didn't know that there was a country copyright guide. So if you are like me today, you know that there is a country copyright guide for Ghana. And this was for 2025 International Comparative Law Guides, ICLG, copyright 2025. Her credentials go on and on and on and on. She's written a number of books. My guest for the show this afternoon is Sarah Noko Anku, Mrs. And she is a global managing attorney. Sarah, you're welcome to today's conversation.
Thank you very much, Yo.
One of those topics that I honestly did not know that we had resource in this country. But Ghanaians are blessed, are we not?
Yes, we are.
Indeed. We have almost the best minds at everything.
Yes, I think so.
I believe so. You know, back in the day, we used to talk about our pilots and say we had the best pilots.
Exactly.
And we still do have the best pilots. Let me leave it there. But we're excited to have you. Intellectual property. Most people don't even know what it is. Oh, and by the way, Sarah has obliged us a couple of slides. You may follow us if you have a bit of time, so just so you can make some notes for yourself. But I prefer that you listen to us rather, because Sarah is going to take her time and explain what all these concepts really are, what they mean to you as a business person, and how you can protect yourself or leverage on them for the growth of your business. So Sarah, I looked at the internet to see what a few people thought, but before I talk about those, let's hear what you have to say.
Very well. Yeah. Thank you very much, Yao, and good afternoon.
Yeah.
The subject, intellectual property, what does it mean? Generally means creations of your mind, creations of the intellect.
Right.
What do we mean by creations of the intellect? As humans, we have this innate tendency to create. We all have those creative tendencies. But there are some creative works, some inventions that when we come up with or we create or we invent, that the state recognizes. And when the state recognizes those works or inventions, the state assigns rights to those works or inventions. And when the rights are assigned to that, we call that the intellectual property rights. So from the idea on your mind to being recognized by the state and being assigned certain rights, the ideas now become assets of yours. They become tradable assets of value that you can now own and commercialize, monetize it, and make some meaning out of it. And if you're an SME, these are creative works that you can ride on to make some income for yourself. And because they are rights, if somebody decides to appropriate those rights, then the state will be there to kind of help you enforce those rights. So you then have to take steps to enforce the rights, just as you will enforce your tangible assets. You have a car, you have a home. Nobody can just walk in there and take your car away. So it's similarly, when you have these assets that are recognized and registered and protected in a particular state, then within that state, if somebody appropriates those rights, you can then take an action against that person. And that creates value for that particular idea. So there are generally two types of intellectuals.
Before you talk about the types, let me just get this clarity in your definition. You mentioned that when your ideas are recognized by the state, then the state now puts in place an arrangement to protect those rights. Is that the only condition under which one can register or enjoy protection of their intellectual property? Or when it also has a business benefit for commercial use, you can also take an action to protect those rights?
So it depends on what you are actually referring to, the subject matter at stake. IP rights are statutory in nature. So we say they are territorial in nature, in the sense that if a country does not provide for protection for a particular intellectual property, you will not receive an intellectual property right for that particular creation.
In other words, they're not transferable across territory?
No.
That had to be made very clear.
No.
That has to be made very clear.
Yes, absolutely. So you may have protected your creative work here in Ghana, but you have not protected it in Togo. You don't expect to have protection in Togo. However, there is one aspect of intellectual property, the copyright. We have copyrights and then the industrial properties. With a copyright, you have automatic protection. So the moment you put your, you express your ideas in a form, in a medium, then you have automatic protection. So that really cuts across, because it doesn't matter where you express it. So long as the country or the, where you actually express that particular idea of yours is part of an international treaty, basically the Berne Convention that most countries are party to, then you have that particular protection, automatic protection.
Across territories.
So basically across countries of the Berne Convention.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So when it comes to the industrial properties, it doesn't work like that. Industrial properties generally require you to register your work before you can obtain the rights thereof. Mm. So if, for instance, you have an SME, a company that is into the manufacture of, let's say, juices, and probably over the period they had had issues with, say, their shelf life, and they are able over time to come up with some form of technology to address that particular problem that they have, that particular solution belongs to them, the person who actually came up with that solution. And the state will recognize that particular person as having invented a solution to that particular problem in a field of technology. And if the person is able to follow the requirements for the grant of a patent, the person will be granted a patent for a period of 20 years. So within that 20 years, what happens is that you have some form of monopoly, and what also means that your competitors cannot easily appropriate that information without your consent. And your consent means you being paid for it. You giving it out in the form of a license and taking the remuneration, royalties, or some bulk lump sum payment as compensation for your work. But then, if you don't have that registered patent, then your work will be in what we call the public domain. If your work is in the public domain, it means that anybody at all can use it, commercially or otherwise. So, for instance, you have spent so much resources to come up with a solution to your shelf life problem. If you don't take steps as an SME, you can imagine how much money, resources you have put into coming up with this solution. If you don't take steps, it means you've made it available to your competitors. You could say that you could keep this as a trade secret so that nobody would get hold of your invention. But then somebody may reverse engineer your invention, or somebody may steal, somebody may have access to it one way or the other. And when that person gets access to it, then that's it. The person can then use it because you have not registered it, unless you have to go through what we call the unfair competition laws of Ghana and see whether you can really find some form of reliefs under that
law. It's a long road.
It's a long road. It's not advisable to really rely on it. So basically, when you generate an intellectual property, for instance, you have softwares for your business, you actually paid money to develop that particular software, and you don't secure it, you don't take steps to rather register it, it falls under copyright. So one would say that you have automatic protection. But then when it comes for enforcing that copyright, it is always best to have it registered, and then you have proof of ownership. You also have come up with a beautiful label for your product, or you have designed your packaging for your product, and you don't take steps to have what we call industrial design to protect that packaging. Of course, it will become to fall into the public domain where anybody at all can, you know, take it and use it. You go to the market, you find that most of these, especially these plastic bottles, are similar across board. So somebody's industrial design is being used across board. If the person has not registered it, then of course there is no infringement. If you look, for example, at this, what we call the Veronica bucket. Mm-hmm. Veronica bucket, when it was developed, it solved a problem in washing of hands in hospitals. So when we had COVID, everybody, you know, decided to use the Veronica bucket in places where we didn't have flowing water. So one would expect that all those buckets that were sold at that time, the person who actually manufactured it should have received some form of compensation, some form of royalty. She did receive recognition. I believe she got some award. Yes, Mrs. Bekui. Yes. So she did receive some recognition, but is that all? She spent money, she spent some resources to develop what she did, and she's entitled to the remuneration thereof. But no, because she did not take steps to, or she did not know how to access the registration process, it became, you know, a public asset. It fell in the public domain.
And now that you refer to that example, even I recall during the period that there was such ingenuity within Ghana on the creation of various variations of the hand washing process. Exactly. Let me put it that way. And it would be sad to say that I'm not sure they all took the steps to prioritize, because we're only looking at only COVID. We didn't understand that it will solve a health problem.
Exactly.
And so it could have stayed and proliferated beyond COVID.
Exactly.
But it's died with COVID. COVID died, and all of those, number one, they didn't register them. Number two, they've just died like that, you know, and it's just sad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, when it comes to the industrial properties, you have to take steps to register them. Under the industrial properties, you have the patents, where you find a solution to a problem in a field of technology. If you're able to express that in the form of a medium, just your idea in writing or the drawings or whatever you have, and you take steps, you go to the right office in Ghana. You have the Ghana Industrial Property Office.
Where are they? Good afternoon to you, Ghana Industrial Property Office. Please, if you are listening to the show, when we get interactive, pick up the phone and call us. We want the whole of Ghana to know where you are. There are a lot of young people who are creating intellectual property, and they don't know where to go. Me, I didn't even know you could register it in Ghana. So I'm sure there are people like me.
Do you know where to register your companies?
I do.
Okay.
It's the same place?
It's a department under that.
Okay. It's interesting to know.
Okay. It is under the Registrar General's Department. Yes.
Right.
So I think for now, their offices are located near the Parliament House.
Yes.
But all applications are filed through the Registrar General's Department at Tema Station.
Very instructive to know. Please, if you didn't know like me, now you know. The RGDs is where you also register
your intellectual property. Industrial properties. Patents, your trademarks, your industrial designs are registered over there.
Right.
For copyright, we have the Copyright Administrator's Office, which is around Nut Hall.
Okay.
Yes, and their registration is quite simple. They request for, I think, two copies of your work, and then you fill a form, you add your ID, and then you pay the prescribed fee. And I think it takes about a month for you to receive your certificate. Mm. It's quite straightforward. It's a bit more complicated when you're working with the industrial properties. So when you have your, using the patent as an example, you need to draft your patent specification, which you need a technical person to help you to draft. If you're unable to get a technical person, probably when the IP office could assist you. I don't think they do that, but they could guide you as
point
to how
in the right
to
direction.
How to draft your specifications. Mm-hmm. And with your specifications, you have your claims. The claims will state exactly what you have invented, what you have brought into the public, what solution you have actually brought. So
that is what solving.
What problem you have actually solved, and you will receive that protection for what you have done. And then the next thing is your trademarks. Most of us use the term everywhere without knowing that we need to actually take steps to register them to be really secured. So I see here you have Joy 99.7, you have Joyline, you have Masterclass, and I believe you as a big institution, you have registered your trademarks. I know, I believe you have done that. So with that, I cannot start a media house and call it anything close to Joy.
No.
I can't. I won't be able to. If I do that, I'll be in trouble with you. Because Joy has the rights over the Joy, the Joy trademark in the media space.
Let me ask this question. Would that be the reason why at the RGDs, when you submit a name for registration, though that is not... That is an umbrella department under which the patent office is for industrial property. Would that be the reason why sometimes they say, no, the name is not available. The name is not available. The name is taken. You can't have this name.
So that's for company registration.
That's for company registration.
Yes.
Right.
So for company registrations, they look at the names that you are submitting and make sure that they are not similar to another name that is already on their records. It is for purposes of ensuring that you don't confuse the public.
Right.
But when it comes to trademarks, it's the protection here is even stronger in the sense that when you have a registered trademark in a particular class, nobody can use anything close to that name in that particular space. So we have classifications for these goods and services. You have, in your case, you have Joy for a service. I can have water production called Yao Water, sorry. You can have something like that, and then you call, that name will be registered for that particular class. So as an SME, if you are producing, let's say, water, juice, and at the same time you are manufacturing laptops, you are manufacturing cars or any other, these goods fall in different classes. So if, for instance, you have X juice and you have registered it within the class for juices, the X will not protect your cars or your computers, which fall under the same company. You will still have to register those, the X, for those goods and services. Probably you have this juice and at the same time you have a restaurant. In the restaurant, you are providing a service. So you have to register the mark for the service as well. You don't leave that. Otherwise, that the mark in respect of that particular service will not be protected.
So if I understand it clearly, the registration for the company differs from the registration for the various products.
Definitely. Not products. Or your trademark. So your trademark rather goes with, let's say, your brand identifier.
Right. Okay.
How we recognize you on the market. So you may have a name for it or a logo or even a slogan, an identifier for your product or your goods or your services. It's different from the company itself. So if my company is an Uncle IP firm and I have, let's say, let me not even use a law firm. Let me use Multimedia. Multimedia as a company, a media house, has Masterclass as a product. So you will register MasterCard class for that particular product.
Right.
You register, which other? Joy Sports for a particular. Yeah. It's not the best SMS, example to give because most of your products are within the same class.
Ignition, so because Kofi is here, so Ignition.
Yeah, so that's how it is. Your trademark protects kind of your brand.
Your identifier. Are there a lot of companies that are registered as RGDs in their name, but they're not, their logos are not registered?
That is the problem. When you register your company and you don't register your trademarks will be very vulnerable to your competitors. I have noticed a particular trend over time. In the same market, I had this case I was handling for a market woman handling selling spices. She had a particular name, brand name for her spices. Her competitor has another name for her own spices, but it looks as if the competitor is quite conscious of IP, has some knowledge of IP. So what the competitor did was, the competitor went to the Registrar General and registered this, my client's trademarks, in her name. So now my client had to fight for his, for her own trademark.
But what's there to fight? It wasn't registered.
It wasn't registered. So you see, in Ghana, we have the first to file system. Whoever comes to file first will be given the right. And if you have anything against that, then you would then have to fight for your rights. You now have to come and oppose the registration. It's a long process. It can be cumbersome. You can end up in court. You spend money. Just, so why don't you just secure it yourself before somebody appropriates it?
Clarify this for me, though, and I'm sure that someone is thinking the same thing. When I register a company, Yao and Associates, are the RGDs, is registered.
Yes.
But how I write my name is Yao and Associates as PLC.
Okay.
And then I have a logo with Yao, you know. The registration at the RGDs is one.
Yes.
My trademark is how I write my name and my logo.
Exactly.
That's also got to be done separately.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. So if you're listening this afternoon and all you've done is gone to the RGDs and you have a certificate for it, it's brilliant that you did that. But what we're saying this afternoon is take the extra step and register how you write your name. It's very important until you get some court case or something is happening somewhere. You think it's not important. Register that name and also register your logo. Because if it shows up somewhere tomorrow, people don't know your name at the RGDs. Who checks that? When I'm buying your product, it's top of mind awareness.
Exactly.
And if it looks like somebody's product, I'll buy it.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. And moreover, too, when you register your trademarks, it somehow protects your address, your website address.
Right.
In the sense that if I have, if I want to register a name close, or even I go to register my www.myjoyonline.com, you already have a trademark. So even if you didn't have this particular address, and I register this one, with your trademark, you can challenge that particular address. But if you don't have a trademark, then it becomes a bit more difficult for you to get that particular address back.
Right, right. This is interesting. If you just tuned in, this is Masterclass, and we're having a conversation on intellectual property. Sarah is sharing so much with us. We'll share a couple more slides, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll get interactive. But I'm sure that when I looked at the slides that you sent to us, what are some of the everyday challenges that you reckon people have to deal with?
I think the major problem is awareness.
I agree.
Awareness. Most SMEs are not aware of the fact that they have intellectual properties that can be secured, and they leave it vulnerable to competitors to actually infringe on. So if, and then most of the time, even when they have some knowledge about it, some of them think about the cost. They feel it is too expensive. Without weighing the cost benefit, if you don't protect it and somebody takes it, how much are you going to lose? If you protect it, it's yours, and then it acquires more value over time.
I suppose that for perspective, the thought process in many minds would be this, that, and I like how in the beginning you talked about it being statutory.
Yes, IP it process is. Being statutory. It is.
I find that you get the best compliance where there is a compulsory approach to an endeavor. You cannot operate beyond a certain level in this country if you're not registered at the RGDs, unless you're operating below the bar as a tabletop kind of thing. And even that, they can come after you in many ways. And so people will do it. But no one comes after you if you don't register your trademark. It's what you will lose. And some people say, I don't know. Some will say, I'll take the gamble. Do you suppose that institutional compliance may help? I say institutional compliance, I explain. GAMRU will come after you in protection of musical IPs for musicians. And so they'll come after companies and say, you're using these songs in your banking halls, you're using these things in your property. On YouTube today, they won't allow you to use anyone's song for any advert if you haven't done the right thing. I mean, there's a lot of compliance coming now. Do you suppose that in the absence of government compulsion, if I can say that, institutional enforcement may also help the process, like what GAMRU is doing for the musicians?
So let me give an example. You have a land, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody forced you to register it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get it?
But isn't that because the land conversation is a hot one?
Yes, so this one needs to be brought up as a hot one for everybody right. to know what they are going to lose if you don't register.
Yeah.
If you have your car, definitely you've gone to DVLA. We tend to protect the tangible assets.
Okay, Sarah, I'm sorry for dwelling on this thing, but you see, I agree with you about the awareness, and it has to be done because we must come to the point where we see the value of what we have and what we can lose. But I'm saying that our minds, most people's minds, in our absence of awareness, are in a certain place. You see, the only reason why, and I'll use myself as an example, I will go to DVLAs because on Friday, some Kofi Mensah will stop me somewhere and make my life a living hell. It's not because I want to do the right thing. The example I always give is when you stop at a traffic light at 10 p.m. or at 11 p.m. or even at midnight. Some will justify it and say you can get robbed. So some don't stop at traffic lights. Is it wrong? Yes, it is. In other jurisdictions, how do they enforce? Nobody will chase you. A camera will take a picture of you. By the time you get home, they'll be waiting for you. Enforcement. So I'm just saying that, do you suppose that the approach, apart from you protecting what you have, which is the biggest way of protecting anything, should also switch to some kind of compulsion? You should not be able to operate beyond a certain point when you haven't registered your trademark. You're going to confuse the public. It's like tax.
I trademark is a property. If you don't see it as a property, you would feel that you need some compulsion to register. But if you see it as a property, you'll guard it. And nobody will compel you to register.
Where your treasure is.
Exactly.
Where your heart will also be.
Exactly. So those who have gone through issues of infringement know the value of their trademarks. They know the value of their IP assets. If some, for instance, the example I gave about my client in the spice industry, she has taken steps to register all her spices, the brand names for her spices, at the Registrar General's, but because somebody took the first one. Now, I again say that when it comes to this is an intangible asset, and it makes it very difficult for people to comprehend what you are really talking about, because they don't really see, okay, I have a trademark, yes, so what is it? I have solved a problem in, addressing my shelf life issue. Okay, so what? What they don't know is that when that protection is given to it, you now can actually monetize what you have without your competitors taking them away from you.
Hold that thought for me. If you've just tuned in, this is Masterclass. We take a quick break. When we come back, we get interactive. Welcome back. If you've just tuned in, this is Masterclass. We're interactive right now. Numbers to call, 0302-216-541. That's 0302-216-541. You can send us your comments on 055-1111997. That's 055-1111997. By all means, please pick up the phone. Let's have a conversation around this. It's one of those areas where there isn't that much awareness, there isn't that much information, but we are learning so that we can become better, make our businesses better, and make our country and our nation better. Just to also remind you that today's edition of Masterclass is brought to us by Goyle. Good energy, Goyle, Yenara, Yedia. If you have any motor vehicle of any kind, then Goyal has some great news for you. Good energy brings you Goyal Super XP, the ideal choice for most vehicles. It is flowing wah-wah at many Goyal stations in the country. Just go fuel up your vehicle and enjoy the smooth ride with all the benefits. Goyal Super XP is quality and gives you the correct choice when buying regular fuel. Goyal Super XP is fortified with a special additive that gives longevity to your engine and makes your engine perform to the max using minimum fuel, and is also suitable for most vehicles. Goyal, good energy, Goyal. My comments have started coming in on social media. This one says, good afternoon. Thanks to Sarah Noko Anku. I now work in the IP office of one of the organizations. I have read her book, Monetizing Your Creativity and Innovation, An Introduction to IP. And I found it very well explained. She's also currently explaining the concept in person. This is actually the second time I'm reading her book. And this one is from Bertha. Bertha, thank you for reaching out. Sarah is smiling in the studio, so obviously she can connect with that. I've got another one. This one says, Masterclass, please allow her to tell us why we have to register our lands. Good afternoon. Kwesi, this is Kwesi from Kaswa. Kwesi, she's here with us for the next 3 weeks. We will get to the land conversation, but today's conversation is more on intellectual property, trademarks, and all of that. But when we have a bit of time, Kwesi, we'll by all means try and attend to your question on land. I've got another one. It says, good afternoon, Yao. Can an association have intellectual property rights for its logo and also its constitution? If so, how does the association go about it? This one is from Kobe in the Netherlands. Do you want to react to that quickly?
Yes. So
Kobe's question.
So an association can have rights over its logo and its constitution. The logo distinguishes what the association does from that of other associations also in a similar field.
Right.
So that distinguishing mark is what is registered as a trademark so that nobody can copy that particular logo. Now, your constitution can be seen as a write-up, a work that is copyrightable. So you copyright that particular work so that nobody can also take that particular work and use as their own. So you can do that, as you can register them.
There's a lot we're not doing then, eh? We just register the name and we leave it there.
Exactly.
We're going to go the extra step and do the brand identifiers and things like the constitution, which are all intellectual property, because you write them to suit what you're doing.
Exactly.
But they can be replicated to benefit someone else.
Exactly.
And so for sake of propriety.
Exactly.
Then you register it.
Proprietary rights.
Okay, I've got another one here. This one says, is there any difference in the font you use? Is there any difference in the font you use in writing trademarks? If you change the font of your trademark, does it mean it's no longer your business or yours? And if trademarks means, I'm not sure I got that correctly, but what role does it play in our business? He's talking about fonts.
So the font, if the font you use at the end of the day significantly makes your trademark so different from what you have protected, then you may not be secured. The trademark office may expect you to file another application for that. Unless the new trademark with a different font makes it gives it a similar look. If it's a similar look, the law allows you.
But my question there would even be that we all use either iOS or Android. And Microsoft, these fonts, don't they come in the computer program? Hasn't somebody registered them already? And we are all using Arial and Times New Roman, and it's not for you.
I cannot
say. So if I use that to write my constitution, it doesn't make it mine, Anna.
I think she was asking about the differences, the different look that her trademark would present.
Right.
If she uses a different font for the trademark. That was my understanding.
Right. I think that's what she meant.
Yeah. So if it gives it a different look, considerably different look, then you may have to register the new trademark. But if it is it just gives it a similar look, the law allows you to use similar marks for your trademark for your business. And then she also asked whether what the trademarks, the benefit to the business,
yes.
Right? So as if you have your trademark, you invest so much in your particular product or service, goods or service, and people associate your product or service with that particular logo or brand identifier. So if you have that and you don't secure that brand identifier, after some time, somebody may ride on it. And worst case scenario, somebody can just actually take the step and register that particular mark ahead of you.
That would be painful.
Yes, it happens all
the time. And then you end up confusing everybody and exactly. You have to issue comments.
And they can even take steps to stop you from using your own mark. And you now have to
after
fight
all the work you put
exactly.
In.
So it's better to secure your rights before somebody
please,
else.
Please, if you're listening today, you have registered your business, you are paying your tax, you are a good citizen, but you haven't registered your trademarks, your brand identifiers, your logos, the things that make you distinct. After this show, you heard it on Masterclass, please go to the CA Registrar General's office. Tell them you want to register your intellectual property. They will help you. If you're into, I think, music and other things, you can go to the Copyright Office.
Exactly, the Copyright Office.
We'll come there.
Yes.
That's Sarah's area. So when we get there, we'll pull Sarah into the studio.
Yes, that's fine.
I've got another one here. It says, please, good afternoon. Can you sue someone for illegitimately keeping your manuscript of a book after printing copies for you?
Your manuscript is your property. So if you want it back, the person must give it. I don't know what contract they executed before the person printed it.
I was thinking an NDA before you'd have even handed it over.
There could be something in the contract that they signed for which reason the person is holding lien to the manuscript.
Mm.
So if you don't know the full story, you cannot really advise the person. But if it is the manuscript has just been kept, the person just kept it for whatever reason, without any good cause, then of course, your manuscript is your property and you have every right to take steps to recover it.
But having even said that, would you just quickly, 30 seconds maybe, advise anyone who hands over their property for the purpose of reproduction? We're talking about printing here. I gave manuscript because I want to print it.
Mm.
I gave you my photograph because I want you to edit it. I gave you my video shooting because I want you to edit it. I gave you my song because I want you to edit it. All of those things end up with people who will do some work on them.
Exactly.
And sometimes you have leakages from those places. It's how information is stolen, is encumbered, or is leaked, or gets out. What advice would you give people? Before you hand over stuff, what should you do?
So, the bottom line, before you do that, you must have some form of agreement with that person that you are handing over to. And usually you have this non-disclosure clauses in that kind of agreement so that if the person discloses beyond the limits that you've given the person, then you will have a course of action against that particular person. But fortunately, for the examples that you